Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Happy Saturday morning, and welcome to our fourth and final show in the Greater Buffalo Sports Hall of Fame Inductee Spotlight Series. We're excited about our final show today. My name is Howard Simon, Evan DePasquale producing, by the way. Thank you for joining us. We are going to have on the show today, we're going to talk wrestling with Claire Anderson, one of the inductees. We are going to be chatting with Mr. John Murphy. Very excited about that. Murph is part of this year's class. Paul Peck is going to join us. Paul is the MC, voice of the UB Bulls. I'm sure you know who Paul is. Used to be at Channel 4. Paul's going to join us to talk a little bit about the dinner, the advisory board, the media advisory board, the selection process. He's going to talk a little bit about James Starks, former UB running back, who is in this class as well. And we'll talk baseball. The former general manager, he managed the Phillies for a while. Paul Owens is in this class, and his son Dan will be joining us as well. I'll tell you about tickets and how you get them, because they're on sale right now. Actually, I'll just tell you they're on sale at gbshof.com. The dinner is Tuesday, November 11th. At the Buffalo Convention Center, festivities will kick off at 5 o'clock with the cocktail reception. All the details are at the website. Get your tickets there. You can buy individual tickets. You can buy an entire table, whatever you need. And the online auction, that I will tell you about a little bit more as the show goes on. There are 37 items. I am looking at the list right now. Available to place a bid in the online auction at gbshof.com. Details on that coming up. Wrestling coming up when we get back, and Claire Anderson will join us on WGR. Hi, welcome back. Thanks for joining us here. I mentioned the online auction. So let me tell you a little bit about this auction and the proceeds. Some of the proceeds here will help benefit the Amateur Sports Development Fund, which is a critical fund that the Hall has and has done for some 30 years now. So the cool thing about the auction is it isn't just sports memorabilia. Yeah, there's sports items available. There's some of local interest for sure, but there's something there for everybody. There are musical items available, Music World memorabilia. There's stuff from, there's vacations. Yes, there are resort vacations you can bid on in Mexico, in Hawaii. Let's see. We've got, and in terms of sports stuff, hey, you got boxing. There are items here from Mike Tyson. Golf, you have memorabilia from Scottie Scheffler. Of course, there's Bill stuff, autographed memorabilia, Jim Kelly, Dawson Knox. Dalton Kincaid, yes, I'm getting my tight ends mixed up every now and then. So, yeah, there's a little bit of something for everybody. There's even stuff from Jack Nicholson. So, yeah, if you want to go and take a look at the online auction, you can go to gbshof.com. And, again, there's 37 items. You will notice that some have buy now links available, so you can do that. Or you can just place your bid, and I'll cross my fingers for you. And as I always say, if anybody who wins those resort vacations needs someone to go with them, or if you just like to donate it to a worthy person, me, I am available for trips if you so desire. All right. So let me just check and see what we're doing. Are we going with Paul? Okay, so we're going to change our lineup up a little bit. We're going to do a little bit of a change on the fly. Evan, let me know what we're doing. Actually, we are going to talk to Claire. Awesome. Okay, we are going to talk to Claire Anderson. Claire is going in after an outstanding career as a wrestler, longtime career coaching wrestling, and Claire is joining us right now. Claire, it's Howard Simon. Good morning. Congratulations on this wonderful honor. Whoop, hang on, we'll get Claire in there. Claire, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
I do, yes, thanks. Hey, congratulations.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it greatly.
So what does it mean, Claire, to be going in the Greater Buffalo Sports Hall of Fame? It's a pretty select group.
Yes, it's very humbling. I look through all the folks that have made it and feel I'm very fortunate to be included with that group.
Now, let me talk a little bit about your sport, too. What does it mean for you to see the sport of wrestling represented with that group in the Greater Buffalo Sports Hall of Fame?
Oh, it means a whole lot. I've been an advocate for wrestling for years. I think it's just a wonderful sport that everyone who has the opportunity to do it. I mean, you don't do it for fanfare. You don't do it for, you know, a fame. It's just for basically yourself.
Yeah.
Yes, and the love of the sport.
Sure. So take me all the way back, Claire, to the beginning. What was the inspiration behind you deciding to get involved in wrestling?
I'm going to steal a little thunder from my talk, but I had two older brothers that wrestled and two sisters that could whip me. So I chose to wrestle. Or I don't know. I was appointed to wrestle.
That's smart. Just,
yes.
So it was more self-defense than anything.
Exactly.
Now I have zero wrestling experience. So you tell me, how difficult was it as a youth to try and master that sport?
You know, when you start out, you just want to have fun, and wrestling is fun. I mean, anyone who has little boys know that the kids, they wrestle around, they have fun, and so it was fun just to wrestle and be part of a group. And, you know, the beauty of wrestling also is it's weight class driven, where if you're a smaller person like I was, you know, I had competed against smaller folks and taller folks, bigger folks, they get to compete at that weight. And so I think it was because it was fun and I had success.
Now, let's go towards high school now. You're at Olean High School, and you have a very successful career individually. Your team has a successful program. Let's talk a little bit about what are some of your fondest memories from wrestling at Olean.
You know, Olean was pretty good and then got real good, and it was fun to ride that wave up. I had, like I said, two older brothers that competed. One went to the state tournament, and so I got to go out to the state tournament and say, wow, you can take this pretty far. And then the team itself, we went undefeated, I believe my sophomore year, junior year, and then they didn't have state champions at that time, but our coaches at that time put us in tournaments with what we thought were the best in the state, and we won. And so it was quite an honor and a fun ride.
Now you have that success, and then it's time to go on to college, and your career starts at Auburn University. How did you end up there?
It's funny. I was at the New York State Championship. I won my second title, and a coach came up to me, this Sam Kozmeyer from Auburn University, and he said, I'm Sam from Auburn University. We'd like you to take a visit. I said, Auburn? Auburn, New York?
A little bit further south, Claire, a little south.
He said, Alabama. I said, I don't rightly know exactly where Alabama is, but I know it's in the south. I'll take that visit. And the winters up here were pretty tough, and mm-hmm. to be flown down there and to see this school, it was a pretty easy decision.
So you started Auburn, but then you transfer over to Oklahoma State, and in hindsight, that turns out to be a brilliant decision. Talk about your experiences, your success, and the team's success. You win an NCAA championship. Just talk a little bit about all those experiences at Oklahoma State.
I love the thought that you claim it a brilliant choice, but But after Auburn, they dropped the program, which was crazy because the coach was only there for 3 years, and he said, in 5 years, I'll have us top 10 in the country. And we took ninth that year. And so I was fortunate. I was an All-American that when they dropped the program in the summer, Oklahoma State recruited me, who had beaten their 136 or 134 pounder in the NCAA championship. So they recruited me pretty heavily, and I thought that would be a great fit. And in hindsight, as you say, it was brilliant because I got to be on a team that went undefeated for 2 years and, you know, a couple national champions and Olympians on the team. So it was a wonderful experience, both at Auburn and at Oklahoma State.
All right, now your wrestling career is done and you make the decision to go into coaching. What was the thought process there for you?
I wasn't going to be a coach. I believe my style of wrestling was like outworking, overachieving, pushing myself to the limit. And then my fifth year in college, I jammed a 4-year program into 5. And so that fifth year I was coaching, and I didn't really like it. It was hard because I felt some of these incredible athletes, talented young men, weren't pushing themselves hard enough. And at the time I didn't know how to try to motivate them or not. And so I finished up, I went to work as a safety engineer. My degree was fire protection and safety engineering, not really planning on coaching. And I did that. And then I kind of grew a little disillusioned with that. I took a year off to travel, and I went down to visit my brother in North Carolina, and his wife is a nurse, a birthing nurse. And at that time, the NC State wrestling coach's wife was giving birth. And my sister-in-law said, "Hey, do you know Claire Anderson?" And it was Bob Guzzo, the coach at NC State, who recruited me. He said, "Yeah, I know where he is. I know him. He was great. Where is he now?" "It's just on my couch." And so he called me up, and I got back into coaching that way. Mm-hmm. I was assistant coach at NC State for 2 years.
You end up going over to Duke, and you eventually get the head coaching job there, and you spend 15 years running a terrific program with the Blue Devils. What are some of the highlights of your time as head coach at Duke?
You know, the highlight is when you work with these young men, you know, sacrificing what they do. I mean, it makes no sense, you know, to spend all that money, go to the college, you know, such an academic school where they're pushing you very hard to be the best in that. And then they're also pushing themselves to be the best in wrestling. And so probably the highlight of my year when I was nominated coach of the year there is we had 4 out of 10 weight classes champions. And you know, that was probably one of the highlights. And I had one athlete that took 2nd in the country. And this is in light that none of our kids was on any athletic scholarship. They had financial aid and academic scholarships. And mm-hmm. So very pleased with that. And again, going back to the young men I was working with.
Well, that's why I want to end our story with you. So you retire, but then you end up going back to Olean High School, where, of course, you wrestled. And you end up going back in coaching, right?
Well, I did. It was... you know, we had the virus that was going mm-hmm. around.
Yep.
The head coach, for whatever reasons, called and withdrew. And they said, "Hey, Claire, we need somebody, you know, to help us through this year." And so I went in as a coach working with a high school team. And that was an eye opener. And it was interesting. I mean, it was a crazy time for everybody at that time where you're wearing masks. But then, yeah. And you're wrestling where you're grabbing on. I mean, it didn't make a whole lot of sense, but it was fun. It really was. And I really appreciate my high school wrestling coaches so much more now after doing it.
You did it, yeah. Well, listen, it's an outstanding story. Congratulations on this great honor going into the Hall of Fame next month. Have a great time on that special night with your family. And thanks for sharing your story with us this morning, Claire.
Well, thank you for calling, and I appreciate you all.
My pleasure. You have a nice weekend.
All right, you too.
Bye-bye. We'll take a short break. When we get back, we'll give you a little bit more of, we'll give you some insight into this whole process and what it's like to try and come up with the class of inductees every year. It is not easy. I sat in on one meeting with the Media Advisory Board, and I could have gotten like 30 people into the hall, and you have to get it down to a smaller number. Well, anyway, we'll delve into that with Paul Peck, who, by the way, is out in Amherst, Massachusetts with UB football. We'll have a game today on Bet 1520 at 2:30. We'll talk about that, too, on WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com. Code FIT.
So we're going to be chatting with Paul Peck. Now, for those of you who've been around for a while, you might remember seeing Paul on Channel 4 at WIVB-TV. Now you hear him, of course, calling UB football games. Paul's got one coming up today at 2:30 as they will take on the Minutemen of UMass. And Paul is going to talk about James Starks, and he's also going to talk a little bit about the voting process for the Hall of Fame. Good morning, Mr. Peck. How are you?
I'm doing great, Howard. Good to talk with you. Good to talk about this amazing group at the Hall of Fame and the amazing event coming up. And I'm getting more and more excited. This is going to help me get the mind started wrapped around this thing, which is, 3 weeks or so away.
So, last year I had a chance to fill in for you, which are big shoes to fill, by the way, because you had a UB football game that night.
I did.
But I wanted to ask you, it's been a long time. I used to cover these at Empire, Paul, and it's been a long time since I had actually gone to one. So I emcee that night, and I'm walking around during the cocktail hour, and it is like a who's who of Buffalo sports, and a lot of people that I would have gotten to know over my career in the business. And I forgot like how really cool it is to actually go to one of these dinners. You would know, you MC them, but it reminded me what a really exciting night it is to be around all those sports people in our community.
There's no question. I mean, obviously, this sports means so much to people in Buffalo. And for guys like you and me that have been around for, you know, a long time, we've had a chance to see the importance of some of the people, the coaches that get on, or some of the athletes that you and I might have covered in high school that went on to the NFL that are now back around in retirement to receive these honors. It really is fun. And, you know, and again, it's just whenever I go, much like you experienced last year, the couple hours before the event is just like this whirlwind of, hey, how yep. are you? Good to see you. How's it been? You know, again, for guys like you and me that were just have been around a long time and covered a lot of different sports from the high schools to the pros, it's really fun to see. And I think the thing that's the most exciting is, you know, it's one thing for the professional athletes to receive this honor. They've had amazing lives and amazing careers. But when you bump into maybe the high school coaches or the bowlers or yep. some of the people that are not hockey, football, baseball people, they appreciate the event so much. And then they appreciate always being in this very special and exclusive club.
This might put you on the spot a little bit, so I apologize, but are there any special years or particular speeches that stand out to you?
You know, the one that always comes to mind was when the Wolfies went in. This is maybe 10 wow. years ago.
Yeah.
Those guys are nuts, right? You know, and I believe, sadly, one of the Wolfies brothers passed away.
Yeah.
But you know, like the two of those guys went in together on purpose, and like it was crazy, right? It was nuts. They're nuts. It was nuts. It was so much fun. I think what happens sometimes is you know, when you put in high school or some of the smaller sports people, like they're just overwhelmed by it a little bit. And you know, sometimes it's part of my job to make sure people aren't quite so nervous and kind of help them along. And then you get the people that are comfortable standing. Hey, to be honest with you, it freaks me out, as I'm sure it did last year for you. You know, you and I, most of our careers have been spent in little studios or little booths. But when you stand up at that podium and you look out to the convention center and there's 1,000 people looking back at you, I don't usually get nervous much anymore in the broadcasting world. That makes me nervous.
Yeah, no, I agree. So this year, one of your, well, a fellow Syracuse alum and former colleague of yours at Channel 4 is going in. Murph's going to be joining us in the next segment. What would you say about Murph?
Oh, God, you know, and it goes beyond Murph, and I'll talk about Murph in a second, but, you know, this class has a lot of direct connections to me, and that's why I'm really excited about it. But and most of them, one of them is Murph. You know, having started at Channel 4 in 1988, I was 22 years old. I did not grow up in Buffalo, so while I knew of what this city's sports meant to people and I knew the names, I didn't necessarily have those relationships of having watched Van and listened to Murph when I was a kid. But Murph and Van, you know, Van would take me down the hall back when WBEN was still in the same building at Channel 4 on Elmwood Avenue, and Murph was always doing one-on-one sports that night, and I would roam down the hall and check in with him and John the Pearl the Merle, who was the producer of the show, and we would just sit and talk sports. And it's, you know, I've had this amazing relationship with Murph. He's one of the true mentors in my career. And I owe a lot to Murph. It was Murph that recommended me to the folks at UB when he was doing UB football back in the 90s and couldn't do a game because of a Bills trip.
Wow.
He recommended me to them, and that sort of got me started on this amazing run of 26 years of doing UB football. So, you know, and then Murph and I get a chance to work together. We work together on the radio broadcast. Then we work together at Channel 4. Murph is one of my true dear friends and heroes and mentors in this business, and I'm so excited to see him get his moment in the sun there. As much as he will downplay it, I guarantee he'll do that to you in the next segment. For a guy like Murph, a Buffalo guy through and through, to be able to receive this honor. It is really cool.
So you're on the media advisory board. I finally got, after all these years, to the my first experience in that. I don't know. I think it was 2 years ago. It doesn't matter. The selection process, Paul. I have no idea how you folks do that because, you know, at some point you go through all the list and they talk about all the different people and at some point you got to vote. And I think we had to get down to 10 that we would suggest. And I thought, how the heck am I going to get to 10? Like, there's far more than 10 people who deserve to go in.
Yeah, it's hard. And for those people that don't know, and it's one of my favorite days of the year, not only do I get a chance to see a lot of my media friends, but you get a chance to sit and talk about the great sports history of the city. They give us, first off, it's about 25 or 30 of us in a room, and it's a lot of people from Mike Harrington to Jerry Sullivan to Mark Gahn to Keith McShay, guys who have covered sports for, you know, and then TV and radio people who have covered sports for 20 plus years who have sort of this base of information to say, well, I covered that guy when he was a player and when he was a coach. And then they give us a list of about, I don't know, 50 people. And then we sort of go through it and debate it. And this guy deserves to be in it. I remember when he did this, and back when he was coaching, he was considered the best player in town. Like, and everybody brings their really cool perspective to it. And it can get a little debatey, mm-hmm. little heated at times, right? There's been a few particular people that generate a lot of discussion and debate and slash argument. And then at the end of that, we have to give them a list of 10 people. And it's always hard. Yeah. What's really hard about it is that you have the professional athletes, the Bills and the Sabres, you have the college athletes, and then you have the high school athletes, and you have the high school coaches. And how do you judge who deserves to get in, a great high school basketball coach versus a great former Sabre? Like, right. Like, that's not only is that the hard part about it, but that's what's cool about this
right.
group,
that's,
is that you can have that debate about those people together.
That's but right. I was going to make that point, Paul. I mean, I know we tend to gravitate. I know I do. It's natural to the pros, like the names we've always heard of. But that's what makes the Hall great. It's beyond the Bills and the Sabres. It's high schools. It's, like you said, and it's not even the main sports. It's wrestling. It's rowing, it's Olympic sports, it's amateurs, it's pros, it's male, it's female, it's coaches, it's players, it's administrators. Like, that's part of the great part of the Hall. Everybody gets a chance to be honored on an equal, on an even level, you know? And that's, I think, what makes it special.
No question. And the problem is how do you even all of that out? And that's where a lot of the debates come, and that's where ultimately our media group makes a suggestion to the committee of the Hall of Fame that then has to vote on it. And their job's even harder than ours, because ours is just suggestions. But then they have to sit there and go, we have five or six spots this year. Do three high school coaches deserve it over a Bill or a Sabre kind of a thing? So, but again, it should be hard to get in, right? Hall of Fames are should be there for the best of the best. And I don't think there's any question that that's what this group has in its history, and certainly has again this year as well.
Paul, James Starks is in this year's class, Niagara Falls High School, UB, Green Bay Packers, Super Bowl ring. You had a chance to call his games, one of the greatest players in the history of modern era UB football. What stands out, what stood out about James Starks when you watched him play?
Yeah, before I answer that question, I'll tell you that I've always pushed hard for James, not because I have this relationship with him and the UB ties, but to me, James Starks is everything that this Hall is about. A high school kid that developed, that went to college, didn't have to be UB, could have been any college, went to college, became an NFL player, became an outstanding NFL player. Like, that's what this Greater Buffalo Sports Hall of Fame is all about. So I have always tried to tell people that James was a transcendent player for UB. And take a step back. I think this is one of the coolest little tidbits was James Starks was the basketball sixth man on the Niagara Falls High School team that was number one in the country in the mid-2000s with Paul Harris and Johnny Flynn. And those are guys that are going to probably wind up in this Hall as well, too. But James obviously goes to UB for football. Like, they didn't know what to do with him. Was he a defensive back? Was he a wide receiver? I think he was an option quarterback at high school. And they eventually put him at running back, and he winds up leading this sort of transcendent moment in UB athletics where they win the MAC championship in 2008, and things have sort of, like, that was the moment when UB became a legitimate, real college athletic program, and it was James and Naaman Roosevelt and a few other guys that were sort of led that, and James was just different, right? He was different than any player UB had ever had before, you know, and then obviously to see him go on and score a touchdown in the Super Bowl is amazing. So I'm so happy for him, because to me, that's what this group is all about. He's a guy who has given it all for this city from when he was in high school through college, and continues to give back as well too.
All right, before we let you go, get a plug in for today's game over on the Bet 1520.
Yeah, the Bulls are at 3-3, but more importantly, 2-0 in the MAC, undefeated. One of I think two undefeated teams in the MAC right now, taking on UMass. It's been a crazy season. College football has become crazy, but the Bulls have played four straight games that have been decided in the last minute. Howard, I'm getting too old for this stuff. Like, I need to relax a little bit. But I think we're all starting to come to the realization that with college football, the talent evening out, there just aren't going to be as many blowouts.
Yep.
Now, there's a chance for that for UB today. UMass has struggled. They're 0-6. They've lost 10 straight games. They're kind of a first year in the MAC. They're a struggling program. Maybe that has a chance to happen today. But I think the Bulls are pretty well situated. If they can, they've won two games. Maybe they shouldn't have won, kind of pulled it out of a hat at the end. Sometimes those can be the launching pad for a successful season. And I think the Bulls have the talent to do that. So it should be a fun game today. 2:30 is the kickoff. 1:30 is the pregame show. And a chance for the Bulls to go 3-0 in the Mid-American Conference and sort of grab a hold of that first place. And I keep saying the Bulls want to stay above the fray. The MAC has been topsy-turvy, up and down. Teams that you thought were going to be good have struggled. Teams that you didn't think were going to be good have been good. So the expectations were high for the Bulls this year for very legitimate reasons. And as long as they can just sort of stay above the fray of a conference where nobody runs away with it, then I think they'll be okay this year.
Have a great call, and always a pleasure to chat with you, Mr. Peck. Hope you're doing well, sir.
I'm doing great. Thank you, Howard. Appreciate it.
All right, Paul, we'll talk to you soon. Paul joining us. Paul mentioned Murph mentoring as Paul's mentor. Well, Murph's a guy that I patterned myself after and tried to learn from when I first got hired in this market back in 1989. Murph deservedly going into the Greater Buffalo Sports Hall of Fame, and he will join us next on WGR. Super excited for our next guest. So Paul was talking about when Paul was at Channel 4, he'd go down the hallway and go take a look at one-on-one sports with Murph on WBEN. Well, I was hired here in 1989 for a station in Niagara Falls called WJJL Radio. I worked the afternoon. I'd come home at night. I'd take out my little Sony Walkman. Yeah. I'd go for a walk, and I would every night, I would listen to one-on-one sports. And that's how I learned about Buffalo sports. That's how I learned how to be a talk show host. And that's how I just kind of figured out how to make things work in the market. And that was all because of this gentleman who's going into the Greater Buffalo Sports Hall of Fame, and deservedly so, Mr. John Murphy. Mr. Murphy, how are you, sir? Congratulations.
Thank you, Art. That's nice of you to say. You know, I wasn't trying to educate you. I was just having fun on the radio.
Yeah, but you were doing both. You know, you were kind of showing me the way to do things. I mean, and that's, you know, Murph, guys like you, Larry Felser, like guys who had been here and knew all about sports, you guys were the guys I kind of had to soak up all that knowledge from. So it worked out really great. Thank you so much.
You are. Well, I didn't know everything about sports. I soaked up knowledge everywhere I went.
So listen, you gotta make a little more room on the mantelpiece there in the Murphy household. You're in the Buffalo Broadcasting Hall of Fame. Last year, you were inducted into the New York State Broadcasting Hall of Fame. Now, what does this honor mean for you as someone who covered sports here for so long and talked about so many people who are in the hall? You're going to be in there now. What does that mean to you?
Yeah, it means a great deal. You know, I have to say, I never considered I would be in the Hall of Fame. I happen to think I'm probably the worst athlete who ever would have liked the Hall of Fame, you know. I can't do anything these people do in the Hall of Fame, bowlers. Anyway, I can't do it. And I don't know why I'm in. I guess I know, but I don't think I deserve to go in, but there I am. I'm going in.
Well, Paul called it. Paul did predict a few minutes ago that you'd be incredibly humble about the honor, and he nailed it. You are. Well, you deserve
to
go in.
I'm being humble. I mean, I'm serious.
Well, I'll let you be humble, but you deserve to go in. Murph, obviously, you know, everybody is familiar with your career, and I think everybody's aware of the stroke you suffered a couple of years ago. How are you coming along? How are you feeling these days?
I feel great. I feel, you know, I'm probably 50 pounds lighter than I was before. I'm going to work out. As soon as you know, there's anyone going to the Y for an hour or so. I just can't talk. And I just was reading about a new clinic I might attend in a couple weeks. Unfortunately, they're shutting down my clinic, but I've been going for once a week for almost 3 years. They're going to shut it down, so I got to find a new place to go. I feel good. I feel excellent.
Well, I wish you the best of luck with that. I don't know if I ever asked you this, Murph. I read your book. I know your backstory for the most part, but I don't know that I ever asked you, because we all have it. Anybody who is into sports broadcasting, there's usually either a moment or a person where you realize, yeah, this is what I want to do. When did you realize, around what age, and when did you realize you wanted to go into sports broadcasting for a living?
That's a good question. I was into broadcasting, and I remember I was at Duke University, and one summer I was talking to a friend of mine, and I mentioned like doing the basketball or playing tennis, and go, you know, you really should go into sports and forget about news. And I said, I never thought of that. I thought, what? What are you talking about? He was right. He was absolutely right. I enjoyed it, and I found it easy to work hard. You know, this week is a bad example, but usually during football season, yeah, I worked an extra 20 hours a week in regular game, and I enjoyed it. I really did. It wasn't like work at all.
No.
And I miss that. You know, I miss that now.
Yeah. No, it is. Well, that's why we do it, because it's fun. So let me ask you this. So I grew up on Long Island. Okay. So I grew up, there's a guy by the name, well, everybody knows who Marv Albert was because he worked on NBC. Sure. But Marv was also on the local NBC affiliate. He was the voice of the Rangers and the Knicks. So, like, I would watch the broadcasters. There were no sports talk radio then. I watched the broadcasters and said, I want to be like those guys. Like, Marv Albert was the guy that I thought, wow, he's awesome. Who were your guys here? Were there on-air, radio, or TV sports guys here, Murph, when you were growing up that you kind of looked at and thought, yeah, that guy's really good?
Well, I mean, the obvious one and the familiar one is Van Miller. You know, Van was spectacular. And I couldn't believe when I was actually working alongside of Van for so many years on the Bill broadcast. I felt like I was, you know, pinch me, you know, wake me up from this dream. But Van was great. Rick Azar was great. Even the old one, you know, Chuck Healy and guys were half a generation before that. But I would say Van was had the biggest influence. And you know, listening for all those years and then to work alongside him, and he never, you know, never instructed me, but I just picked up things, you know, about how he did things, how he handled things that served me very well.
That's got to be cool. See, that's what's different about your story, Murph. I grew up on Long Island but made my career here. You grew up here. You're born and raised here and made your career here. When you started doing color on the Bill, here you are, John Murphy, doing color next to Van Miller on the Buffalo Bills broadcast network. I mean, holy smokes. Did you just kind of stop and pinch yourself?
Yeah, it was nuts. It was a mistake, you know. They had Stan Barron was doing color, and Stan got sick, and he did the final preseason game, and then got sick and cancer and died around Thanksgiving that year. But they needed somebody. They were in a bind, and they put me and Paul Guidry on the broadcast with Van, and figured between the two of us, you know, we can probably make it work with Van. And Guidry, you know, wasn't really into it, and he lasted about a month or so, and he went by the wayside, and so I did the rest of the season with Van, and it was amazing. It was again, I feel like I had to be pinched to wake up from a dream or something, but there I was. And that was the Bills were 2-14, by the way. They weren't very good, but I was still doing NFL football, and I was having a great time doing it. And I remember I figured I would be replaced by somebody after the season. No, I figured, you know, I was a fill-in, and I went to Larry Levitt, who was the owner of BN Radio, and I said, well, what are you going to do next year? You know, figuring he'd say, I said, I'd like to do it, but I understand. You know, I figured they had to get a player or somebody in there. And he said, well, can you do it? And I said, yeah, I can do it, but I don't know if you want me. And he said, oh, yeah, we want you. So So I guess I must sound all right with me and Van, and the rest, as they say, is history.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, of course, it's the final year of the stadium. Obviously, the Bills are going to go across the street next year. Do you have, I'm sure you do, favorite games, favorite memories? What might come to mind when you flash back after all these years at, you know, what was originally Rich Stadium?
Yeah, I haven't really spent much time flashing back. I go to the home games now and write a thing for WIBB.com every game, and so I don't have time to flash back. I do feel I feel at home there. You know, I feel like I'm comfortable in my surroundings there. One game that stands out, and there was not any fans there, was the Bills and Baltimore in a playoff game a few years ago, and Taron Johnson intercepted in the end zone and ran back the entire way for a touchdown. And I remember I had a pretty good call, and I remember thinking to myself, now I feel comfortable. It took that long, by the way, but I felt like I had made it. You know, there is a playoff touchdown by a defensive player, which, you know, and you never foresee that coming. You think Baltimore is going to score, and he ends up in the end zone and ran back all the way, and I felt pretty good about that call. But it was mostly, I don't know, the feeling was one of just familiarity, you know, like I just was familiar with my surroundings, and I got to feel that way about some of the other places too, like AFC East. You know, New England is a great place to do a game, and people would ask me, "You must hate going to New England," and I said, "I kind of like it because you can see really well, and you're low, and you're right in the middle. It's a good place to work." So I kind of look at things a little differently.
Final question, Murph. I don't know. You know, you wrote a book with Scott Pitoniak, a terrific book. Is that still out available for folks?
Yeah, it's called If These Walls Could Talk. It's still available in bookstores. I think most bookstores have it, yeah.
Okay, because the holidays are coming up, folks. If These Walls Could Talk, Murph and Scott Pitoniak. If you're a Buffalo sports fan, it is a must read. You will love all the stories in the book. Get it for yourself if no one's getting it for you for Hanukkah or Christmas. Murph, congratulations. This is, you know, I know you deserve it. You're just an icon and a broadcasting legend. So I'm glad you're getting this honor, and have a great time at the dinner next month.
Okay, thank you very much, Howard. Thank you.
All right, Murph, take care of yourself.
Yeah.
John Murphy joining us here on WGR. What, guys, just, he's the best. All right, we'll take a break. And baseball. Yes, we'll talk about baseball when we get back. Paul Owens, who had an outstanding career as general manager and a little bit of managing with the Philadelphia Phillies, is going in the Hall. His son Dan will join us on WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're gonna find
and
it.
They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
Hmm.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low-impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com, code FIT.
Paul Owens went to Salamanca High School and later St. Bonaventure, played minor league baseball, but if you're a baseball fan of my age and you grew up a baseball fan in the 1970s, you might remember Paul as general manager of the Philadelphia Phillies, and he was a large part of building the great Phillies teams of the late 70s and the one that went on to ultimately win the World Series in 1980. Paul passed away at the age of 79 in 2003, but we are joined right now by his son Dan, and Dan's going to talk a little bit about his dad, who is in the class of 2025 in the Greater Buffalo Sports Hall of Fame. Dan, it's Howard Simon. Good morning, and thanks for coming on with us today.
Well, good morning, Howard, and really thank you for the invitation.
Well, congratulations to you and your family. And when you passed the word along, what was the reaction? What does an honor like this mean to the rest of the Owens family?
Well, it's a big, big deal. It truly is, and the reason for it primarily is that it would have been very, very special. It's very special to Dad because he was always a Western New York State boy. He always took great, great pride in that. Of course, I don't have to tell you that what a hotbed for sports that part of the country is. So for him to receive such an honor, that's right up there with any other honor he's received.
Now, Dan, I was trying to figure out the timelines to ask you about, you know, his time with the Phillies as GM. So when were you born? I'm trying to figure out the timeline of you as a young baseball fan while your dad was working for the Phillies.
I was born in 1950.
Oh, man, you're in good shape. Okay, so the 70s teams. I'm a Mets fan, so, you know, the 70s were not good for us. They were very good for the Phillies, and you provided a lot of stress for a young baseball fan. But what do you remember about, I mean, that was just an amazing group of talent that, you know, was the dominant team in the NL East in the back part of the 70s.
Right. Well, Dad was a huge believer in what he would always call a solid, sound foundation. And that meant a very, very good farm system, a very good way of developing young players. And at that time in the 60s, he took over as farm director in 64. And that's, he used that time to sign and develop players like Luzinski and Boa and Schmidt and Boone. That was his foundational belief. He said, you build up from your minor leagues, and you take it from there.
What did he tell you about Mike Schmidt? And was Mike Schmidt the best player your dad ever saw?
I'll tell you, absolutely. No doubt about it. As you might know, that Schmidt had bad knees at Ohio University, and he was recognized as a truly tremendous athlete, but it was a bit of a risk. But after, you know, knowing the family, his parents are very good people, and he was raised right and had a good attitude, and they saw the potential in him. And to elaborate on that, to how good he thought Mike Schmidt was, at, I guess it was at the 1980 World Series with Kansas City, I was at the ballpark in the executive dining room sitting there with my dad and some other GMs, and the conversation fell to who were the greatest natural ball players these guys had ever seen. So I was privileged to be a fly in the wall there.
I was going to say, that's got to be amazing. Dan, sorry to interrupt, but you weren't a kid. You would have been in your, late 20s or maybe 30 when they won the World Series. But what was it like to be around – those teams, those players, and here you are hanging out with, you know, baseball GMs.
Oh, it was fantastic. It was, I mean, it, you know, it was, I didn't deserve any of it, but I was lucky enough to be born right, I guess. And so they were talking about who they thought the greatest natural baseball players were, and it came down to Willie Mays and Mickey Mantle and Mike Schmidt.
Wow.
And believe it or not, it was the majority of them said, oh, as far as just a natural ball player, they said Schmidt.
Wow, that's a pretty good group. So, you know, as you well know, I mean, the Phillies have been around for a long time. Largely average or below average franchise, really, for most of their existence. And then your dad comes along in the 70s and the great teams. How much pride did your dad take in playing such a large role in turning around what had been a kind of a moribund franchise?
Well, it was his great passion. He was the most dedicated man I've ever met. I mean, he woke up in the morning, it was baseball. He went to bed at night, it was baseball. And when I was a kid, like 8 and 9 years old, this is when he was still like a minor league manager, he would slap his hand on the table and he'd say, someday I'm going to win a World Series. Damn it, somebody has to do it. Why shouldn't it be me? Wow. And he just worked and worked. He outworked everybody. And he was a smart guy anyway. And he got to that point where he arrived in Philadelphia and became a general manager. And he promised the people of Philadelphia that he was going to bring a World Series to them. And damned if he didn't.
Now, he's GM, but your dad also ends up managing on a couple of occasions, including the 83 team that ends up going into the World Series. How did he like, or did he not like, managing?
He really did enjoy managing, and the reason why is that he preferred being the GM, obviously, but because that's the ultimate authority. But he wanted to get with the players in the clubhouse. He wanted to understand what made these guys tick, and he was a great motivator of men, and he thought that by doing that, he could find some things out about his players. Particularly, what were they like on the road? How did they behave? Were they taking care of their bodies? Were they doing everything right? And that was very, very instructive for him. And that's primarily why he did that. So
yeah, that's smart. Because then, as a GM, you know who to keep and who to get rid of.
Well, that's it exactly, Howard. You hit it perfectly, yes.
Now, I knew of your dad's executive career. I was familiar with him, but I didn't know about his playing career. So your dad played and had a very successful minor league career, three-time batting champion in the Pony League, playing for Olean. Never got a shot at the majors? How come?
Well, this is kind of odd, I guess, but maybe not for those times. He grew up, it was Depression, and his dad wasn't working for a while. He had a serious problem working on the railroad where he was his hand was kind of demolished, and so they went for a few years, really tough times. And so he when he grew up and when he went to serve his country over there in Belgium and during the war and all that, and he made a promise to his mother when he came back that, and as silly as it sounds, that he would wear a white shirt to work.
Yeah.
That he, you know, and she thought the world of that, you know, he wouldn't have to work like someone who worked with their hands. So he made that promise to her. So he was just working as a teacher, and he was playing in, I guess, some kind of summer league, and a scout saw him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like 20, I don't know, he was old. And the guy offered him a contract on the spot, and he accepted it. He said, "Well, you know, I've been true to my mother's promise. I would do this." But he figured he was a married man. He thought he'd give it a shot. So he got he signed a contract probably for the price of a Starbucks coffee, you know, and went over and went to the ballpark that night for a game, traveling from Salamanca to Olean, a half hour away. And he got there after the gate opened, and he had to pay his way in. So it was 50 cents. So that's his first professional game. And he the owner felt bad and he gave him a check for 50 cents. And my dad hung it up on his wall when he was a GM. And whenever he was negotiating a contract, he had a lot of fun with it. He would take that check down from the wall and he'd show it to the agent. And he said, look at this. He said, you want millions of dollars? I had to pay my way in to get to my person.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Yeah, he was something.
Well, congratulations to you and the rest of the family on this terrific honor for your dad. And thanks for sharing some stories about him with us today.
Well, thank you very much, Howard. That's really a big, big deal for the family. Really enjoyed talking to you.
Well, enjoy the evening next month.
All right.
Dan Owens joining us here to talk about his dad, Paul. We'll come back and wrap up today's show, get you ready for a shortened version of Sports Saturday, and of course, Sabres hockey matinee game coming up on WGR as well. All right, two reminders. The dinner is Tuesday, November 11th at the Buffalo Convention Center. You can buy tickets right now at gbshof.com. Also, when you get to the website, make sure you check on the 37 fantastic items available in the online auction. You will find a link for that when you get there as well. Sabres hockey coming up, afternoon game against Florida. It's a 1 o'clock faceoff, so here's the lineup in moments. It'll be Sports Saturday from the arena with Derek Kramer and Joe Calley. They're going to have a one-hour show. Brian Koziel will have the Sabres pregame show at noon, Sabres and Panthers at 1. Have yourselves a great weekend. Evan DePasquale, thank you for producing. My name is Howard Simon. Enjoy Sports Saturday next on WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.